Well, in this book, we've been looking at reasons to praise God. We started a few weeks ago, and Stormy gives 15 reasons in the first part of her book. And as she herself admits, there are many more reasons to praise God. But we've started looking, Sarah talked to us a few weeks ago about God being our creator and our heavenly father. And last week, those of us who were able to make it to Kirky's lovely home were able to hear her talk about how God is our, about his love for us and how he laid down his life and how he has forgiven us. Well, this week we're going to look at two more reasons that we have to praise God. One, because he gave us his Holy Spirit, and two, because he gave us his word. And so we're going to talk about those two reasons that we have to praise God here this morning. So why don't we pause and pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you that here on this Valentine week, that whether we have a special someone or not, we can be for sure certain that we have you to love us unconditionally. And we thank you for that. We thank you and praise you that you've given us your Holy Spirit, and we look forward to talking about that this morning. And then, oh, Heavenly Father, for your word, we thank you for that and for the light that it is to us. So God, be with us now. Open hearts, give me your words, and I pray that, that you would be glorified by the things that are said here this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to start out talking about the Holy Spirit, because that was the first chapter of the two that we're going to cover this morning. The Holy Spirit is probably the one part of the Trinity that causes the most controversy among Christians. And so this morning I want to talk a little bit about, you know, some of those issues and what the problems are. But a lot of denominations and a lot of churches differ fairly vastly on who the Holy Spirit even is, on how we get him, and then his presence in our life. And so those are some of the things that I want to touch on this morning. I want to shed some light on that. And then I especially want to challenge each of you as to his role in your own life. Because that's what this is about today. It's about the Holy Spirit working in you. So first of all, I think we can all agree that the Holy Spirit is one part of the Trinity, making him God along with the Father and the Son. Now, I think the Holy Spirit kind of gets a bum rap sometimes, and he isn't always considered equal in this Trinity thing. Well, he is God, and it is he, not it, it is he who is God just as much as God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I think that there, in Scripture, we do see that there is kind of a hierarchy within the Trinity, but as far as value, as far as equality with God, they are the same. It's just like in the husband-wife relationship. In God, we are equal in value. Now, there's some role differences, but we are equal in value as far as God is concerned. Well, within the Trinity, the different parts have different roles and responsibilities, but they are still all equally God. Now, I'm going to take you way back to Sunday school, for those of you who went when you were young, and I was reminded of the two basic illustrations that talk about the Trinity. Everybody ever heard the egg illustration? Okay? Think of an egg. There are different parts to this egg. We have the shell, which without it, we'd have a mess if the egg is raw, but the shell is a very important component of this egg. And then inside that, we have the egg white, which is one consistency and one color. And then we have the yolk, which is completely a different color. But it's all part of the egg. Different parts, different functions, different values. Some have more cholesterol than others. You know, I mean, they're different, but they're all still one egg. Well, that's the way it is with the Trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Different roles, different functions, but all God. The other illustration is water. You can take water, and it's going to come in a number of different forms. We can have water as liquid. We can have water that can be frozen. That same bowl of water you put in the freezer, you're going to come out with a block of ice. Same water, different form. Take that, melt it down, boil it, you're going to have steam. Same water, same matter, different form. So you have steam, ice, and liquid, all water, different forms. And so that's kind of the way we probably use to explain to little kids the differences between the forms of the Trinity. But I think it's important for us to understand that, but at the same time to understand that they are all still equally God. So now let's talk about who he is and how we get him. When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we do that when we very specifically ask him to come into our life, forgive us of our sins, help us to live the way he wants us to do. Very specific point in time when we become a Christian. For those who feel like, well, I've just grown up a Christian all my life, well, you might have grown up in a Christian environment, but it wasn't until you very specifically asked Christ to come into your life that you became a Christian. At that point in time, we receive the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing. At that point in time, we get all of the Holy Spirit there is to be had. We don't get him in installments. We don't grow in our acquisition of the Holy Spirit. We get all of him right then. The difference is the way that we allow the Holy Spirit to control us, the way that we appropriate the power that's already there is different. So we're all functioning in different amounts of the Holy Spirit, but it's not because all of them isn't already there. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in just a little bit. But I just want to be very clear for you to understand that when you accept Christ, at that point in time, you get all of the Holy Spirit there is to be had for you. That's it. And he's sealed in you at that point in time. Ephesians tells us in chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, it says, "In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view of redemption of God's own possessions to the praise of his glory." We were sealed until the day of redemption. And so we don't have to worry about the Holy Spirit coming and going. He's there with us. Now, the thing about that is, because he's there, sometimes we take him places he doesn't necessarily want to go, because he's sealed in us. And that's how we can grieve the Holy Spirit, which we're commanded not to do, because he's there. When you're on the phone gossiping about somebody, the Holy Spirit is trapped right there with you, having to endure that. When you're off envying something or somebody or something, the Holy Spirit is there to witness that. When we are doing things, when we're yelling at our kids or having an argument with our husband or, you know, whatever it is that we're doing that is displeasing and dishonoring to God, we are grieving the Holy Spirit who is sealed in us. Now, in the Old Testament, it wasn't like that. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come and go. He would come upon somebody and empower them for a particular work or a particular task for a particular time. And then when that was over, he'd leave. And that's why we see David praying, you know, Holy Spirit, God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. In our book, Stormy makes reference to that verse. And she had this terrible dream that the Holy Spirit would leave her. Well, that would be a nightmare. And she woke up and realized that that was not a reality. But she asked, would David have prayed that if it weren't possible? Well, David might have, because in his day it was possible. For us today, it's not. And so I just want to make sure that we're very clear on that. His anointing comes and goes at different levels. His empowerment of us comes and goes. And again, we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But I want us to all be very clear that when we get the Holy Spirit at salvation, it's a done deal. And so it is up to us then to be very careful of where we take the Holy Spirit and what we expose him to in our own lives. Because if it's not of God, it's grieving him. And we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, there are some other things that we do that sometimes aren't very, very pleasing. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32 says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the needs of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear it." How many of us follow that on a day-to-day basis with everything that comes out of our mouth? Let me read that little part again, then I'll continue. "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the needs of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear it." I think that's something that God and the Holy Spirit want from us. It goes on to say, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So when we're doing these things, we're grieving him and we're commanded not to, and we're sealed until the day of redemption. And then, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away along with all malice. But instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other." How? Look at this. "Just as God in Christ has also forgiven you." Now, I don't know about you, but in my life, God has had a lot to forgive. Do I extend that same amount of grace to other people? Or do we harbor resentments? Do we talk about them? Do we just shun them and put them away? No, God wants us to treat others as he wants, as he treats us. And we do that by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. It's hard for us to do that a lot of times by ourselves on our own. But that's one of the reasons God has given us the Holy Spirit. That's one of the things that he does. And in our lesson this week, we saw that Stormy lists 20 reasons to praise God for his Holy Spirit. These are all works of the Holy Spirit. On page 79, starting there and going for pages here, he comforts us. He convicts us of wrongdoings. He enables us to obey God. So when God tells us to put away slander and malice and all that, the Holy Spirit can enable us to do that if we let him. He guides us. He teaches us, gives us power, spiritual gifts. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And there's probably even more of things that the Holy Spirit does in our life if we let him. But there's the problem. Most of us as Christians want Christ to help us out from time to time. But on a day-to-day basis, we tend to think we have it under control. Well, I saw this illustration not long ago, and I thought that it was an excellent way to show what's going on with us and the Holy Spirit. Can you guys see these glasses? These two glasses of milk are the same. They're both glasses. They both have white milk in them. They represent us as people. When we become Christians, we get the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives, and he's there. All of it that we're ever going to get. And for most of us, just like this chocolate, he sits right there in the bottom of the glass, totally unaffecting our day-to-day lives. Do you see how this is happening? The Holy Spirit's in there, but the milk is still white. When we seal, the Holy Spirit is sealed. That milk, that chocolate is not coming out of that glass. It's in there. But it's not affecting the milk. Too many times, as Christians, we let the Holy Spirit sit in the bottom of our glass, and we do nothing to appropriate His power. What we should be doing instead is taking the milk and stirring it up. We do that by reading God's Word on a daily basis and hearing what He has to say to us. We do it by going to church or Bible study, by reading, you know, by hearing what God has to say. We do it by asking God to help us on a regular basis and really seeking His wisdom. And as we actively, intentionally stir the glass, the chocolate then ingrains every morsel of the white milk, affecting a change in the milk. Do you see the difference now that the milk, the chocolate has been stirred up? It's not just sitting in the bottom of the glass. If you wanted a glass of milk, which one of these would you rather have? We want the Holy Spirit stirred up in our lives. We want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, so it's not us, the white milk, functioning from day to day. We want the Holy Spirit ingrained into every part of who we are and affecting everything that we do. Now, if I stop stirring that over, you know, the next few hours or tomorrow, what's going to happen to that chocolate? It's going back to the bottom of that glass. Because we have to continually stir up the Holy Spirit in our lives. Part of the problem that we have and why it sits at the bottom of this glass is because of sin in our own lives. And so we have to constantly go before the Lord and confess that to Him. Now, some people have a problem with that. They're embarrassed, maybe, to go before the Lord and confess that lie that they let somebody get away with thinking. Oh, Lord, I can't tell you about this lie. Well, people, the Holy Spirit is sealed in us. He was there when we told it in the first place. He's just waiting for us to come to Him and restore that fellowship. The relationship is never going to be broken. He's in there. We are still His daughters. But when there's sin in our lives, that fellowship is strained. And He wants to restore that to a perfect, harmonious relationship. And so He wants us to come to Him and to confess our sins and to clear the air between us so that He can empower us and the Holy Spirit can then work again in our lives and provide the anointing for the call that we've been given or empower us to live the life that He wants us to live. I love the way the late Dr. Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade, describes this process. Any crusade people in here? Dr. Bright says there is something that all of us in this room are doing right now. Very naturally, most of us without even thinking about it. Unless you have a respiratory issue or maybe a bad cold, you're breathing and not even thinking about it. He says, as we confess our sins to God on a regular, consistent, daily basis, it's like doing spiritual breathing. And that's what we all need to do all the time. We need to breathe spiritually. He says, somewhere in my notes that I have gotten completely away from, where does he say this? I want to read a quote to you. He says, spiritual breathing, like physical breathing, is a process of exhaling the impure and inhaling the pure. in an exercise in faith that enables you to experience God's love and forgiveness and walk in the Spirit as a way of life. As we exhale, we confess, Lord, take away the sin in my life, the envy, the strife, the bitterness, the sharp tongue. I confess those impurities. Inhale. Lord, I appropriate the power of your Holy Spirit, which is already in me. Not new parts of the Holy Spirit. He's there. But the power that exists in there. You know, it's like having this huge light bulb inside of us and not plugging it in. The power is there. We just have to plug it in. We inhale the forgiveness. We inhale grace. We inhale the things of God that he wants us to exhibit on a day-to-day life. So as we're keeping the milk stirred up on a regular basis, we are able then to breathe spiritually. Inhale the goodness of God, the power. Exhale the confessions, the sins, the things that we need to do. About a month or so ago, I was getting ready for a trip. And as usual, I had a list this long of things to do, about this much time in which to do it. But I was really trying to work through this list. And this was Thursday night. I was leaving Saturday morning. I was going to be home most of Friday working down my list. Thursday night, I hear my daughter talking to some friends, and they're trying to decide what to do for lunch the next day. They have open lunch, and they can go and come. And they're trying to decide, do we want to spend money and go out to eat? Do we want to go to somebody's house? What are we going to do? Well, I knew that I was going to be home that day, and so I extended this offer. I said to my daughter, honey, if you want to bring your friends home for lunch tomorrow, that would be fine with me. I just need for you to let me know because we're pretty low in stuff and I need to go to the grocery store. Now, the grocery store was already on my list of things to do anyway, but, you know, if I knew she was coming, then I would, you know, go sooner in the day. She's like, okay, Mom, well, thanks for the offer. I'll think about it and I'll let you know. Went to school the next day, talked to her friends. About 10 o'clock that morning, she called and said, Mom, I think we're going to take you up on your offer. We're going to come home for lunch. We'll be there shortly before noon. Okay, so now I've got 2 hours. Where the grocery store was down here on my list, now it's moved up to here on my list. So I stop everything I'm doing, you know, try to wrap up when I'm finishing up, get out, go to the store. I'm now rushed. I don't have time to get everything on my grocery list. So now I'm going to have to go back to the store again later to finish shopping because now I'm in a hurry. So I'm just in there now looking for bread and sandwich meat and just the basic essentials for them to have something to eat when they come home. So I race to the store, get all that, buy a roll of chocolate chip cookies, come home, turn the oven on. I'm expecting them to walk in the door in about 10 minutes. The phone rings. Mom, we changed our mind. We're going somewhere else for lunch. In the Holy Spirit, out these thoughts that I'm having. And sometimes when that happens, it's not just in, out. It's more like, shh, 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 shh. In my mind, you have wasted my time. You have imposed on what's important. You have infringed on my, you know, you've wasted gas. You know, all of these things are going in my, I have been inconvenienced. It's an imposition on me. It's a waste of my gas. Me. Fortunately, that one time in Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's like, Brenda, calm down. It's okay. You know, and I'm listening. And I was able to say to my daughter, okay, honey, have fun where you're going. I hang up the phone, and in my mind, I'm thinking, but when you get home, we're going to have a serious conversation. Went about the rest of my day. That afternoon, she came home. She made a beeline for me. Where's Mom? Where's Mom? Searching the house. Came down in the basement, found where I was. Before I could say anything, Mom, I am so sorry for inconveniencing you today. I know you went out of your way to do this. Just apologizing all over herself. And then she explained why they made the choice that they did, which was actually a pretty good reason. And I was so glad I had not gone off on her and insisted, you better get your hiney to this house because this is where I've been prepared for you. I didn't do that, and I was so glad. I was able to operate within the power of the Holy Spirit and put aside all of those selfish, natural thoughts that I was having. Working within the power of the Holy Spirit, keeping Him stirred up in our lives, enables us to function according to the way He wants us to live. And a lot of times diverts a lot of unnecessary heartache and bad situations. The Holy Spirit is part of each of us. We have to decide if we're going to let Him sit in the bottom of the glass, or if we're going to let Him be stirred up in our lives. It's a personal choice. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to enable you to live the life that He has called you to live. You just have to decide which glass are you going to be. We can thank Him and praise Him that He has given us that incredible gift of the Holy Spirit. And for that, every day, we should worship Him and thank Him and praise Him and practice the spiritual breathing. Well, the other thing that we get to praise Him for is His Word. God has given us His Word. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It gives us direction and instruction and just kind of lays out a map for our daily living. But that only happens and it only works if we know what it says. And that happens as we listen in groups like this, but more specifically as we're reading it on a regular basis for ourselves. Now, let me say something about that. I am going to be the last one to stand up here and lay a guilt trip on anybody about how you have to be up at 4:30 every morning or 5 o'clock, and you have to be reading your Bible before the sun comes up, and if you miss a day, you are in sin, and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. I am not going to do that to you. What I will say to you is, when you do get up, and when you do spend time reading God's Word, it gives us, it equips us with what we need for the day. So we don't get up and dance, okay, I got to have my quiet time because I'm being legalistic and I'm going to get zapped if I don't. It's nothing like that. It's doing it because we want to be empowered. We want to be equipped. We want to know what God's Word says so that when a situation comes up during the course of a day, we have some frame of reference to go back to know what God's Word says about that particular situation. Memorizing Scripture is another excellent way to carry it with us all the time. In Psalm 119:11, it says, "Your Word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against Thee." I have it in my heart so that I know what it says. I love the example that my husband used, and it's an old example, and you can tell because it involves a file cabinet. And people probably don't even have those anymore. But he equates our memorizing Scripture to putting folders in a file cabinet. And when a situation in life comes along, the Holy Spirit then can open that drawer, pull out that folder, and reference you to what His Word says in regards to that particular situation. But if we haven't hidden His Word in our heart, if we haven't memorized it, the Holy Spirit goes to pull open that drawer and goes, "Oops, there's nothing there. I can't reference them back to my Word because they haven't memorized it. They haven't hidden it in their heart." And so as we carry God's Word in our heart, it's just another way of knowing what He says, of appropriating the Spirit, stirring up the milk in our lives. I love the idea of index cards. When I was in college, I started this. I got one of those metal file boxes, and like the recipe boxes or whatever, and I just start writing verses on index cards. You know, one or two verses on this card, another verse on another card. And I just had them in this file box, and I could pull these out and put one up on, you know, each day or for a few days or whatever, and just be continually reminded of those. Recently, I didn't bring it up here, but I got one of those spiral index card things, you know, where they're bound. You can put your cards on that and keep it in your car, keep it in your purse. And then on those infamous times when you're bound to have to wait somewhere, at one of those eternal long red lights that we have here in Colorado Springs, or at the doctor's office, or in a carpool line picking up kids, or whatever it is, then you can pull that thing out and make good use of that wait time by putting God's word in your heart. And just by refreshing yourself as to what it says and having those key verses handy for you so that you can continually be aware and have your mind bathed in the Word of God. And then when those situations come up, then you'll have that verse to refer to and go, oh yeah, this is how God wants me to respond in this situation. Having God's Word is an incredible gift that we have today. And we live in a country where we are free to explore that gift openly. I mean, most of us have numerous Bibles in our home. And we can sit outside in public and read it and not be reprimanded or arrested or anything like that. We can take full advantage of the wonderful gift that God has given us. There are countries that value and treasure God's word so much that they go underground, sometimes literally, but, you know, definitely very secretively, to be able to study God's word and to know what it says. We have a freedom to do that, that I think sometimes we take for granted and take very little advantage of. And so God's word is given to us. Psalm 119:9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? Well, by keeping it according to the word. In other words, yeah, there's stuff out there. Yeah, life is going to be hard. Yeah, there's going to be situations. But is there a way? Yeah, it's by following God's word. And Psalm 119:16 says, I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your words. The Bible is God's inspired word. And make no mistake, there's controversy about this too, but the Bible is without error. I talked to you about that maybe a year or two ago about, you know, how it lines up with itself and how things that seem contradictory in one place, when you work it all the way through, it works. God's word is without mistake. And while he used human beings to write the word, and they wrote from their own personalities and their own perspectives and their own experiences, they wrote under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who guided their words and put in what we have what God wants us to have. So it is completely accurate and it is completely inspired. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the divisions of the soul and spirit, both of joint and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Tyndale, Bible commentary says, people can hide from God. The word of God is living and they cannot hide from God. The word of God is living and active. Filled with God's vitality and energy. It is able to probe the deepest recesses of the human heart and leave nothing unhidden. He goes on to say, confronted by God's word, people are... My printer cut off the top half of the line, so I'm hard time reading this. Confronted by God's word, people are confronted with God before whom they must give an account and from whom nothing can be concealed. We've already said the Holy Spirit's there. We can't hide from him. We can't hide anything from him. I love what they talk about the word being living and active. Let me ask you, have you ever been in Bible study, studying a particular passage, had a whole bunch of stuff going on in your life, and that passage seemed to speak specifically to what you were going through right then? A few years later, maybe you're in another study, or that one comes back around, or whatever, you're studying the same passage. You're at a different place in life. You have different things going on in life. But that passage speaks to where you are right then. I've had that happen. To me, that's the word being living and active. It's not stale. Okay, I read that. Don't ever need to go back to that again. No, it's active in our lives. And it's applying over and over and over. Because that's how big God is. And that's how he can do stuff like that. And so the word is an incredible gift that God has given us. We just need to spend more time in it. And I will be the first to confess to you that it is real easy to get up and be busy and to hit the floor and go and keep thinking, got to get back to that, got to get back to that, and you're gone. And it's sometimes an effort. But stirring the milk is an effort. It's one of those things we have to do in our lives in order to know what God says and to allow his word to be in our hearts and to be, and for us to be led and guided by it. We have to know what it says in order to know how to obey it and in order to know how to allow the Holy Spirit to enable us to obey it. It all works together. God has given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us his word, and for both, we can praise him and thank him and live a joyful, encouraged, equipped life because of both of those things. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. We thank you that he is sealed in us and that we are empowered by him. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is living and active and works precisely in our lives. We thank you for that. And God, we pray that we would breathe spiritually, that we would exhale the confessions, the sin in our lives, and inhale your power and appropriate your Holy Spirit on a regular basis. And Lord, that as we read your word, we would understand it and accurately apply it to our lives. So God, again, we thank you for both. We love you and praise you. In your name we pray. Amen.